Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the program Covered Pearls, brought to you live from Durban, KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. It's me, Zakira Ansermia, behind the microphone. And inshallah, you will be spending the next hour in my company. I hope that you will enjoy the program today, as I have sourced some beautiful Muslima news stories for you. In our tafsir segment, we will also be touching on a pertinent topic. We will be touching on the topic of talaq and divorce, very serious nature topic. And in our female masail segment, which wraps up the program, we will be concluding the discussion that we started off last week. Last week we spoke about hayz and intimacy, a rather adult natured discussion. Today, inshallah, we will be speaking about the entrance point during intimacy, and that is how the ayah, starting off with intimacy and hayz, concludes. It speaks about the points of entrance during intimacy. So, inshallah, I'd like to touch on that, as this is also a pertinent discussion that we need to have from time to time. Rather adult natured, something that we should not be shy of, though, as anything in deen, when discussed in the correct manner with the due degree of modesty and decorum, then inshallah we will be learning. So inshallah, that's what I have lined up for you in today's program. If you'd like to send me any feedback on the program, you may do so. The number is 061-406-2688, or you could drop me an email on za@radioislamlive.com. It is already the 29th of February, the last day of February. The second month of the secular year has already come to an end. But it is the 19th of Jumad al-Ula, so we are already running away with the Islamic year. We are edging closer and closer to the month of Ramadan. And like I remind you every single Monday afternoon, how close we are coming to the month of Ramadan. And my question today is, how spiritually prepared are we? How are we preparing ourselves so that as we edge closer and closer to this month of Ramadan, how are we preparing ourselves so when the month of Ramadan does come to us, we are ready and we are rearing to go? So inshallah, send me your feedback on the number 061-406-2688, or drop me an email, za@radioislamlive.com, a message on my Facebook page, Zakira Ansermia, or on my Twitter handle, Covered Pearls. These are all mediums which you can keep in touch with me here on the program live, or you could simply send me a message on that WhatsApp number after the program during the week as well with whatever female masail queries you may have. So that's what you can expect in today's program, and as I mentioned to you, that is the lineup. Stay tuned then as we go for our first ad break of the hour.
You're listening to Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548.
This is the Muslima News segment on the program Covered Pearls. In this segment of the program, we speak things Muslima. We speak about things that have caught my eye and that really people who are making a difference in our Muslim community. So yes, today some of the stories will be with regards Muslimas, others will be with regards some great changes that have been put in place. And today I have one story in particular that is about a non-Muslim woman that has really caught my eye, and it's something that I felt I needed to share with you. So let's start off with the Muslima news then. So this story comes to you from the Sultanate of Brunei. The Royal Brunei, that is the national carrier of Brunei, has its first ever female trio on its flight deck. That is, the pilot and co-pilot are female, and they are hijabi sisters. So, mashallah to them. And this definitely does change the Western mindset, where they often feel that Muslim women are oppressed and Muslim women can't do things that non-Muslim women can do. It's because their religion oppresses them. So subhanAllah, these sisters are showing that despite being veiled and despite choosing to dress in their Islamic attire, nothing has stopped them from achieving their dreams and achieving their goals. So that's your first story coming to you there from Brunei. The next story that caught my eye was a story from a university in Canada. Now, alhamdulillah, I know that many of our MSAs at our university, at campuses, have a dedicated salah room, and often the males and females have separate facilities and they are allowed to pray their salah. And, you know, mostly these JKs, as they are known, the Jamaat Khanas at the universities, are quite well decked out with whatever facilities the Muslim students would need. But a specific university in Canada has taken it upon themselves to, in the normal bathrooms, to in order to facilitate for Muslim students, they have added wudu washers. So these are those contraptions that they have come about with, where it's like a seat and a whole tap area where you can put your feet up and everything in one. In fact, they have a name for it. If I'm not mistaken, it's called a wudu aid or something like that. So this university in Canada has taken to putting this into the bathroom facilities, so that the students don't necessarily have to go to the Jamaat Khana and, you know, go there and make wudu, but rather, no matter which part of the campus they are on, they can just visit the bathrooms and make their wudu there, and in this way making it easy for them to then pray their salah at any place in, on the campus. So yes, thumbs up to them, and I feel that even in our own universities here in South Africa, perhaps this would be a great thing for them to put into place, as that it does make things so much easier for our Muslim students. Going on then, something that caught my eye as well on social media is a story of a non-Muslim sister. Something that really left me so inspired. It's about a 91-year-old doctor from Indore. She treats patients for free. Now, some of you may think that, okay, alhamdulillah, our Muslim Doctors Association, or the medical association rather, does have a treatment center in many areas that do the same kind of work. But she has been doing this for the past 68 years. And at the age of 91, when almost everyone who can afford takes retirement from their job, Dr. Bakhti Yadav, who is still doing her treatment and still sees two patients, who is a gynecologist, she still serves women in the rural areas. So subhanAllah, this is a story that I thought I had to bring to you, because she needs to be saluted for her dedication to her job and her service to humanity. And you know, another point that I'd like to make from this is that often when we get into a trade or we get into a profession, we tend to forget the reason behind why we get into these professions or these trades. And slowly what tends to happen is that slowly as time goes by, we tend to take it too much as a job. We tend to focus too much on the fact that it is our means of income, and we don't really take the time out to recondition our minds and to remind ourselves that no matter what sort of trade or profession we are in, at the end of the day, it is also about serving humanity, be it Muslim or non-Muslim alike. So I brought to you this story today in the Muslima News segment to bring about that element, to remind ourselves that no matter what we are doing, no matter what our profession or trade we are in, we need to remind ourselves that as a Muslim, I am here to serve my community, to serve humanity to the best of my ability. And if I have a specific trade or if I have a specific profession at hand, then I need to try my best to serve the people of my community, of my society, in the best way that I possibly can. So inshallah, that brings us to a roundup of today's Muslima News. And yes, not really much that caught my eye this week. Inshallah, perhaps next week I have a few more interesting stories for you. So keep tuned to the program Covered Pearls that comes to you on Radio Islam International on a Monday afternoon. It's now time for us to go for the second ad break of the hour. When we return, we speak Falak in our Tafsir segment through the eyes of a Muslima. This is the second segment of the program entitled Through the Eyes of a Muslima. It is a segment of the program where we discuss various ayat of the Quran And in particular, ayat which relate to the Muslimah and various aspects of deen. Inshallah, today we will be discussing various aspects of talaq. We will try and cover but a few. As you know that talaq is a very vast discussion and there are so many angles to it. But recently, doing the rounds on social media was a discussion with regards when can a lady seek to get a talaq or get a fasq or a khula as they refer to it from her husband and under what conditions or what grounds does she have to do so. And also in last week sometime a sister sent me a message wanting to know what the actual rulings are with regards talaq, whether talaq ba'in or talaq raj'i. So, inshallah, I'm going to try to cover a few aspects of talaq, and as I said, we're not going to be able to cover all, but in this short space of time, in this little while that I have, I'm going to try and cover as many of the relevant ones that is possible. Starting off, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, At-talaqu marratan, fa-imsak bi-ma'roof, aw tasrih bi-ihsan. ولا يحل لكم أن تأخذوا مما آتيتموهن شيئا إلا أن يخاف أن لا يقيم حدود الله فإن خفتم أن لا يقيم حدود الله فلا جناح عليهما فيما افتدت به تلك حدود الله فلا تعتدوها ومن يتعد حدود الله فأولئك هم الظالمون صدق الله العظيم. This was ayah 229 of Surah Baqarah, and many of the consequent ayahs which follow this, ayahs which follow this, speak about talaq. In this particular one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about talaq being two times. And here we speak about talaq raj'i. So if a husband were to give his wife a talaq the first time, then he would be able, the two of them are to stay in the same home under the same roof, and just separate their sleeping quarters. And the rationale behind this is that during this time, he may just realize, and she may also just realize, and the wife during this time, unlike the talaq, unlike the iddah period of death, where a lady is advised not to dress up, she is advised not to put on makeup, not to put on any jewelry, etc. Rather, the lady who is sitting idda of talaq is advised to dress up, advised to put on, dress up alluringly, etc. Because by doing this, it is hoped that her husband may see what he saw in her in the first place and may realize that the argument or whatever discord they may have had was something minor. And, he was wrong in having given her a talaq. And in this way, during that iddah period, which is three menstrual cycles for the Hanafi and three clean periods for the Shafi'i, during this time, if he wishes, he may take her back without making a new nikah. But if this time period does expire, then she most likely would return to the home of her parents or, her own home for that matter, return. And when she does this, then if they want to renew their nikah and they still find that they would like to return to one another, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another ayah says, وَالصُلْحُ خَيْرٌ, that they should make sulh, and that in the first place the talaq should not take place. So even after, even though the talaq may have taken place and they still decide that, you know what, they've made a mistake and they want to return to one another, then after the iddah period has expired, they will have to make a new nikah, and this can be done on two occasions. So basically the husband will be able to give the wife the first talaq, take her back during that time, or make a new nikah after the iddah period has expired. Second talaq, take her back during the iddah or after the iddah, make a new nikah and take her back. But the third time that he gives her a talaq, he will not be able to take her back until, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next verse, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, فَإِنْ طَلَّقَهَا فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدُ حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرَهُ. So he will not be able to take her back until she marries another zawj, another spouse, another man, right? So in this instance here, there are a few things that need to be kept in mind, or a few discussions that are brought forth from this. Firstly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about marrying another spouse, this does not, this means a proper nikah, not just a nikah for convenience, not a sham or a mock nikah that unfortunately has become something prevalent in society as well, that a man and a lady want to marry each other again, and for this reason, sometimes the man even gets one of his friends or an acquaintance to marry his wife just so that he can marry her, become intimate with her, and thereafter divorce her so that this man can then marry his wife again. Now, this is all things that we should stay far away from, as these are the hudud, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُبَيِّنُهَا لِقَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ at the end of this ayah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it clear so the people may understand and they may take heed, and they may, you know, by taking heed and understanding, and, you know, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us this, He is explaining to us that these are not things that I've played with, right? So we don't do these things nilly-willy just so that we can work around these rulings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made. Rather, this matter of talaq itself also is something very, very serious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another ayah, another ayah which regards to talaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَإِنْ عَزَمُوا الطَّلَاقِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتِ يَتَرَبَّسْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُنْ أَنْ يَكْتُبْنَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ فِي أَرْحَامِهِنْ إِنْ كُنَّ يُؤْمِنَّ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَبُعُولَتُهُنْ أَحَقُّ بِرَدِّهِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ إِنْ أَرَادُوا إِصْلَاحًا وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلِلرِّجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةٌ وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ صدق الله العظيم. Here also in this ayah, there's a few aspects that we can touch on. One is that Allah says, you know, that when the two parties aradu islaha, when they want sulh, then no one should stand in their way of making sulh. This is even before the first talaq takes place. But in the event that the first talaq does take place, then they should still try and make sulh, mediate and arbitrate and try and get back together. But at the same time, I must mention something over here. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in aradu islaha, that both parties must want sulh and khair, then it should not be that the husband wants his wife back just so that he may impose on her, or he may be bad to her, or he may, you know, treat her, mistreat her. No, at no point should this be the case, because often what happens in a case where, you know, a khul or a fasq of the nikah is wanted, and this is in the case where the wife wants out of the marriage, then often this goes to a jamia, and when the lady is sitting in this consultation that she is having, she can be accompanied by a mahram obviously, and a group of ulama gather, and she and her husband both are present there, and they are coming to terms with what they need to now decide for this married couple. Then what happens is the husband is given a chance to tell his story, the wife is given a chance to tell her story. Why? Because the mediating officers, or the you know, the ulama that are sitting on this panel, they are trying to get to the bottom of this. Now, in this case, they need to hear both sides of the story, and they need to understand what really transpired. And based on that, they can then make pass judgment and pass a ruling in favor of the husband or in favor of the wife. When I say in favor of the husband or in favor of the wife, if the wife wants out of the marriage, there are only certain rules and certain restrictions or certain cases where she is allowed to leave the marriage without any without Islam imposing on her that she stay in the marriage. Some of them, there's a whole list of them, but there's just a few that I'd like to mention here. Before we go for this ad break, we have like about a minute. So one of them would be like in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where a sahabi and a sahabiyya were married, and this sahabiyya found her husband repulsive. When I say repulsive, I mean his outer appearance to her was not attractive enough. And therefore, she could not come to terms with him being physically unattractive. And she went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she asked that her nikah be annulled, and she was ready to give her dowry back. Now, as the ayah before this that I discussed with you speak about it being a fida, speak about it being like a sort of ransom that she is going to pay to get her freedom, this is permissible. Now, we know that in nikah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advised the menfolk that when marrying a woman, or at least has mentioned that a woman is married for four reasons. Imaliha, wali jamaliha, wali hasabiha, wali dinha. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives his advice and he says, far bi dhati din. He says that a lady is either married for her wealth, mal, or jamal, or for her beauty, or for her hasab, or for her rank in, and status in society, or for her deen. And then the Prophet ﷺ gives his advice and he says, فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. Get married to the lady because of her deen. تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكْ. Because this would keep you, you know, you would be making the best decision if you get married to the lady for the sake of her deen. Similar would be the case of a lady, that it would be best for her to take into consideration her spouse's deen. And even though he may not be physically attractive, but if he has deen, then this should be the best thing that she can ever look forward to or look out for. But in the case, we know that sometimes what happens is we are human at the end of the day, right? So we end up looking at the physical appearance of a person. And in this case, when we look at the person's physical appearance, and if it is just not appealing to us, and you're trying very hard to keep, to stay in that marriage, and you can't, because this person, you know, their physical appearance just doesn't, you can't stomach it, then in a case like that, this is a valid reason why a lady can give back her mahar, the dowry that her husband gave her, and she can get a khul, she can get a fasq performed, and this is the type of talaq where she gives back her dowry and she is given her freedom. So that is the first case. In the second case, it is where she has a valid reason, and this valid reason is where her husband is not fulfilling one of his responsibilities. It can be in the case of him not fulfilling her responsibility of maintaining her, of maintaining the family, of intimacy, no matter what it is. But if she comes to Jamia and she mentions that, you know what, her husband is not fulfilling one of these responsibilities or rights towards her, then it is also possible for them to terminate the marriage. If he's abusing her verbally or physically or mentally or sexually even, then it is permissible for them to terminate the nikah, and in that case she will not have to give back her dowry. So these are different circumstances under which a lady can ask for a khul, can ask for a fasq, an annulment of her marriage, and in the two different scenarios there will be different rulings. But the bottom line is that yes, a lady can also ask for a talaq. It's now time for us to go for the second ad break of the hour. When we return, we will wrap up this discussion on talaq.
This is Radio Islam, Medium Wave, 1548.
We were discussing talaq before the break, and inshallah we will be wrapping up the discussion. A few queries coming in, and all of them on a similar nature, so I am going to answer them all in a very general sense and not go through them one by one. The first one, or the first lot of queries, are with regards the iddah period and how it works. So what happens is, in a talaq raj'i, the lady will sit in an iddah. So the man gives his first talaq, and these talaqs that a man has, it's like three bullets in a gun basically. So he can, once he has shot all three bullets, the gun is now empty, and once a man has given all three talaqs, the nikah is totally null and void, and he may not marry this woman again, right? So the first time he gives her a talaq, it is possible that he takes her back within the iddah period, without a new nikah. If the iddah period terminates, Then he will have to make a new nikah and take her back. He then only has two left. If he gives her a second talaq, within the iddah period he can take her back, and or he may wait until the iddah period is over, and he may take her back after that with a new nikah. Now he only possesses one talaq. He may then, if he wishes, give her this third talaq, and at that point he may not get married to her again, unless she is then married to another man, and after consummating their marriage, she can then return to him in a nikah. The rationale behind all of this. First of all, the iddah period, the three periods of waiting is three hayd periods if you are Hanafi, three periods of tuhr if you are Shafi'i. The rationale behind this is firstly to see if the lady is carrying his child, because if she is hamil, then she will have to wait until the end of her, if she's pregnant, she will have to wait till the end of her pregnancy. So when her pregnancy terminates, that is when her iddah will terminate. And during this whole iddah period, the rationale behind that as well is that the man has to provide for her. The man has to maintain her. So subhanallah, pregnancy being a very, turbulent time, a time when things are very difficult for a lady. You know, she suffers nausea, she suffers weakness, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that He is taking care of her, in that a man will have to maintain her during this entire iddah period. The rationale behind a man only having three talaqs. If a man were to constantly take back a woman and give her talaq and take her back, it wouldn't leave her in a very good emotional state. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you only have three chances. Once these three chances are over, then let her be. Let her go and be able to get married again to another person, because maybe the problem in your marriage is so big that it is best for both of you to go your own ways. Because like, you know, it is understood that once a person gives a lady one talaq, or once a couple divorces once, then often they realize after that cooling off period whether it was a good idea to be, you know, divorced, or whether it was a bad idea. Sometimes they realize that, you know what, it was a terrible mistake. And in that moment of heat and, you know, irritability or whatever, it may have been anger that this person gave a talaq, and then they make sulh, they reconcile, and everything is back to normal and they're all happy once again. But if during that time, both parties realize that, you know what, this was a mistake, this wasn't a mistake, and rather they are happier without each other, then often it brings them to a conclusion that they need to go their own ways. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here that yes, if the man then decides that okay, he needs to go his own way and she needs to go her own way, then even then they should go in a good manner. They should leave each other in a nice manner, without being mean, without being funny towards one another. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the man that while she is still in your nikah, then you need to take care of her monetary needs, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن طَلَّقْتُمُوهُنَّ مِن قَبْلِ أَن تَمَسُّوهُنَّ وَقَدْ فَرَضْتُمْ لَهُنَّ فَرِيضَةً فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَضْتُمْ إِلَّا أَن يَعْفُونَ أَوْ يَعْفُوَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ عُقْدَةُ النِّكَاحِ وَأَن تَعْفُوا أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَنْسَوُا الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. That's one ayah. The other ayah says, وَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِن طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ مَا لَمْ تَمَسُّوهُنَّ أَوْ تَفْرِضُوا لَهُنَّ فَرِيضَةً وَمَتِّعُوهُنَّ عَلَى الْمُوسِئِ قَدْرُهُ وَعَلَى الْمُقْتِرِ قَدْرُهُ مَتَاعًا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Now in both these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about giving talaq to the woman whom you have not yet touched. So perhaps you have got married, and Allah forbid, within the first few hours of being married, the first few days of being married, depends when a marriage is consummated. Before the consummation of a marriage, the couple decide that, you know what, they're not meant for each other, and the talaq takes place. And Allah says, for such a man, he doesn't have to give her the full dowry that he has promised. Rather, only half of it would suffice. But even this half, he should give her in a good manner. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say at the end of that ayah? وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Don't forget this courteousness towards one another. Often in a talaq, in a divorce, things become ugly. And you know when they become so ugly, what the worst part is that when this couple want to get back together, if the families have started feuding with one another and displaying bad character towards one another and arguing and fighting and all of that, when the couple decide that they want to get back together, the family are left with so many ugly words that were passed between them that now they cannot see eye to eye and they cannot face each other anymore. So even on the occasion of a nikah, sorry about that, even on the occasion of a talaq, let it not be that the two parties separate in an ugly manner. Let it be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly reminds us in all the ayat of talaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends off saying, وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. In the next ayah that I read to you, Allah says, حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Give her مَتَاعًا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Give her whatever is due to her, a gift, a mata', a gift, بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, in a good manner. حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And she's a right for a good doer. Someone that is good, someone that has good character and akhlaq, will not show a bad face to the person, will not bad mouth the person, even if they are deciding that, you know what, this is the termination of our marriage and we don't want to have this marriage anymore. Don't bad mouth the lady when you leave her. The lady, don't bad mouth the man. Because tomorrow, Allah forbid, you have to, be married in a family that is still linked to their family. It leaves such a bitter taste. Or in some instances, there are children in a marriage. And when there are children in a marriage, we must take their feelings into account. The mother and father have decided to split up. But to the children, if the lady is speaking ill of the man that she was married to, then he's still the father. For the man to speak ill of the lady, that is still the children's mother. You are hurting their feelings. So like this, we need to keep all this into account. We need to take all this into account and keep all this in mind. And then, another thing that we need to remember is, when proposing to a lady, or when deciding that you want to propose to a lady who has been given a talaq, or who has been divorced, right? This cannot be done within the iddah period, because during that iddah period, her husband has every right over her. But once that iddah period has terminated, now the husband again has the first right over her to make nikah and get back marry her once again, remarry her rather. And only then, if he chooses to give up this right of his, and they have decided between themselves that they don't want to be married to each other anymore, then in this case, yes, then you may go and follow the normal route of proposing, etc. The normal misconception is that a lady cannot be married, a lady who was divorced. There is sort of like a stigma that is then attached to her. And people always think that, if a lady was divorced, then automatically it's her fault. Somehow the men don't really have the stigma that is attached to them. So even if a man comes to propose that has been previously married, it's always best to do the homework and always best to get to know and get to the bottom of it. And even though the likelihood is that sometimes, because it is the case of, as they say in English, sour grapes, and the marriage didn't work out, sometimes you will get bad stories from the other party, be it the man divorcing the lady. So if you're going to be asking the lady what was it that made you divorce the man, or asking her family, they will always tell you bad things, right? But again, Islam teaches us that Never mind what the situation may have been. We need to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very emphatically tells us that we need to leave a marriage in goodness. So if somebody asks you about a person that you may have been married to in the past, then allow this person the dignity to leave with respect, and do not be mean, and do not be, speak the truth. If the person, whatever bad qualities the person has, say it. But at the same time, enumerate their good qualities as well, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, perhaps you see bad in the person, but there is also so much good in them. Perhaps there is bad in something that you see, but there is also a lot of good in it. And this applies to a spouse as well. So when somebody asks for a reference, and if you may have been married to the person, remember that as much as you need to tell them the truth about the person, you need to also tell them whatever good the person may have had with them. When a case of divorce occurs, let it be that it occurs on an amicable way that we depart from one another. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep all the marriages prospering and in a happy, contented manner, keep the couples happily together. But if they do decide that they need to separate, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that the separation is also in an amicable manner, in a good way, and that there is no ugliness and bad feelings and hatred and, mutual malice between the two people, because Islam always teaches us goodness and kindness in everything that we do. So I leave you with that, inshallah. There are many other aspects and angles that we could have gone into with regards to talaq. If there are any other queries and questions, I have shared my interaction details with you, and you are most welcome to then drop me an email or WhatsApp message, and inshallah I will get back to you. It's now time for the last ad break of the hour. When we return, we wrap up our program with our female masail segment.
This one's for the ladies. Tune in to Sister Zakira's program, Covered Pearls, every Monday 2 to 3 p.m. for an informative and lively discussion on all things Muslimah related. Join Sister Zakira as she hosts a Q&A session and discusses various masail related to women. Listen in for some encouraging inspiration and motivational nasiha. Covered Pearls, the program Muslimas everywhere.
Welcome back to the program Covered Pearls. We are into our final segment of the program, the female masail segment, and as I mentioned to you in the intro, today's discussion will be of an adult nature, and therefore, inshallah, if there are any little ones around, please excuse them. Or you could always listen to a podcast of this program, this section of the program, including the other discussions that we have had from the beginning of the program in our podcast section on the website. And you could just scroll through the podcast section and find my name, and inshallah, there you will find the program podcasted for your listening pleasure. Inshallah, the podcast should be up by around this evening, so you could make your way to the website by around that time. What are we discussing today? As I mentioned in the very intro of the program, today we will be concluding the ayah that we started off discussing last week. Last week we spoke about intimacy during haid, and we concluded at the point where it is mentioned that haid can be, or at least rather intimacy can be resumed once a lady's haid has terminated. Today we conclude with the last part of the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ. So go to them, or take benefit from them and enjoy intimacy with them, that is your wives, in a manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you. Now, with regards to this, today I'd like to discuss a few intimate practices that may and may not be allowed. Now, Islam allows us to have a pleasant time when it comes to intimacy, but there are certain boundaries in place that are not to be crossed. And inshallah, today I'm going to share with you one or two of those. There are time constraints that we have. We have just about 5 minutes, so inshallah, in that time I'm going to try to share with you as much as possible. And here today we speak about those things that we should never, those acts of intimacy that we should never do, because these acts are major sins and they are haram. Now, the first of these we speak about is anal intimacy, and this is considered a major sin in Islam. It is an act that was actually done by the people of Lut alayhi salam that the Quran condemned. They were trapped in the sickness as well, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them very severely. And it is also mentioned in a hadith by Khuzaymah bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. He says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that indeed Allah is not bashful of the truth. Do not become intimate with your woman from the anal area. So this is the back passage. So if this is something that we need to understand, this hadith is reported in Nasa'i Sharif. And by understanding this, we need to realize that this was an act that was severely punished. Those of people at least were punished for having perpetrated this act. So be it whether it is something that is done consensually or whether it is forced upon the lady, the woman that is, it is totally haram and should not be perpetrated. So that is the first one. The other one that we spoke about last week, and that was with regards haiz. That's the second act. And the third one is with regards intimacy, or oral intimacy rather. Now this seems to be a little more, the ulama are a little more divided on their view on this, with regards the fact, or because of this issue being a bit of a complicated one, in that in the early Muslims there were no clear answers, because this was not a prevalent practice in that time. Some ulama mention that this can be done as a means of foreplay for to incite a partner. But at the same time, we must remember that Islam also requires from us that we display a level of decorum and haya, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us in a hadith something to this effect, that if we don't have haya, or if we choose not to have haya, fa'al ma shi'at, some hadith even say fasna' ma shi'at, then do as you please. Now when we see these types of ahadith, we realize that there are certain acts that we should not commit, despite them not being haram, but they disliked nature because of it being an act which has shameless connotations to it. We should refrain from these acts. Now, the reason I liken this to shamelessness is because we understand that due to arousal, there may be some seminal fluids that are released. And if this does happen, then swallowing this would be absolutely haram, and, you know, as this is najis fluid. But at the same time, we need to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a beautiful way of fulfilling even our carnal desires. So at all times, even when fulfilling these, we need to keep in mind the requisites of haya. We need to keep in mind the predisposition of a human being towards bashfulness, and this innate quality of a human being to do this in a more unanimal-like manner. So inshallah, by keeping these in mind, then we will not perpetrate excessiveness in any one of our dealings, be it social, be it even in our times of intimacy and such kind of relationships, inshallah. Well, that brings us to the end of our discussion for today. Inshallah, there is a lot more of an adult nature that we need to discuss when it comes to female masail. And inshallah, I plan to bring you this in small little bits each week. And as I mentioned to you in last week's program as well, when it comes to these type of discussions, some may not feel totally comfortable discussing them, but we have come to a time where we need to discuss these things, yes, with the level of decorum, with the level of shyness, but at the same time, there should not be any shyness from matters of deen, and if there's anything that we need to know, we need to understand how we can come across in a respectable manner, but discuss these things and have the questions answered at the same time. So I hope you have enjoyed the program for today. That's a wrap for this afternoon, this Monday afternoon. Join me next week, same time, same place, inshallah. Until we meet, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.